Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then, gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them.
Okay, what a massive, wonderful and daunting task to explore how we share the love of Christ with the young. He later admitted the sermon didn't seem quite as interesting as it did when he was creating it. I have loved researching it. I sincerely hope I do better than him. I'm actually aiming for 5 minutes at the end of questions, so please don't just sit there, nod off or draw doodles. If you have something I say which you think, I don't understand that, I'm not sure how that looks, there will be hopefully time at the end. That depends on whether I can speak quickly enough that Veronica can hear me, but Virginia or Veronica, but not too fast, okay? There's a whole balance going on. Okay, let's emphasise every word in that title. Sharing the love of Christ with the young. How do we do this? Sharing the love of Christ with the young. What does this love look like? Sharing the love of Christ with the young. Jesus, fully God, fully boy, then fully man. What does sharing that look like? Sharing the love of Christ with the young. What age does that mean? Now, for every parent here and every youth leader, children's leader, who are obviously a lot of them upstairs today, nothing actually consumes our thinking much more than this question. How should we share the love of Christ with the young? I want to say they are not the church of tomorrow, but they're actually an equal part of the church today. And if you look in Mark 10, it says they are at the very centre of life in the kingdom. They are crucial, okay, crucial to God's plan on earth. A lot of research shows churches that minister with children hold on to their children. Churches that minister to children or for children don't. Okay? We have to minister with the young. Well, this can be overwhelming. Rate these 1 to 10 in your head. We should set up Christian unions in Hayden and Northwood schools. We should run lunch clubs at Harlan, Hillside, Coatford. We should do street work in Joel Street after dark. Well, actually, Tom should do that. We should invite them to the Christingle, to the fireworks, to Alpha courses, TFT and games night on a Friday. Well, no, we should just simply pray our socks off. Well, actually, it's a responsibility of the parents, so we have to do nothing. It's over to you. We should take them to New Wine, Soul Survivor, pay shed loads for Urban Saints holidays. If you've got 4 children at Algars, that's a lot of money. We should get involved with local sports club, Scouts. Get in via the back door. Now, I'm not actually going to tell us how to do this, but we're going to explore the rationale behind how we share the love of God, why we do these things at Fairfield, and see how we can improve. And so we should end up, please hold me to this at the end, you should be more informed, more encouraged, and more able. But there's a health warning. I will challenge you. I'll challenge the church. I'll challenge you as a family unit. And I include myself and Andy in that. This is not me talking to you. This is us talking together. To clarify, the term young for today means 0 to 21. Secular society would rapidly say that adulthood is not 18. Okay, a lot of mental health services will say it's actually about 25 now. In Fairfield, we intentionally support up to 21. Okay, so we may sound like we're going into adulthood, but there's a rationale as we go through. So I've called this morning actually this. Know the story, okay, live the story, and share the story. Know the story, live the story, and share the story. And it's the whole faith, from beginning to the end of the Bible. It's not just the New Testament, okay? Know the story, live the story, and share the story of our faith. Faith in God the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, with your children, with your grandchildren, with your godchildren, with your Fairfield's prayer children, with the church children. That's all of you basically then. Have I got everybody? Yeah? Okay. Everybody better listen up. It's widely proven that children grow best in their faith, wait for this, in an intergenerational faith community. So have a look around. Intergenerational faith community. It does not benefit the children if all the leaders are under 25 or under 35. It simply doesn't. There's a plug now. I need helpers for various groups. All ages, all sizes. Men, not just women. Okay, this benefits everybody. Because I want to challenge you, children have as much to offer adults as adults have to offer children. Do you believe me? Do you agree? Children have as much to offer adults as they do, as we do to them. So today we will explore how the faith of children and youth develops and what we do and why we do these things because of point one in Fairfield. So to share the love of Christ effectively, you have to know how children and youth develop. It's quite simple. Now, Steve and Viv, oh, they're over there, they would not expect Isla to be able to ride a bike, okay? She doesn't have the balance, she doesn't have the coordination, and actually her legs are just way too short to get to the pedals. Children develop at different stages for different things, and faith is actually no different. We must have an understanding if we're to share our faith, our story, appropriately. Faith development has been looked at extensively by two people particularly, John Westerhoff and James Fowler. I'm mainly focusing on James Fowler. I want you to just have a couple of cautions. His model is not perfect. So please don't sit there and think, that's not my child, that's not my experience. It's not perfect, okay? While the stages that children pass through in terms of faith development are consistent, children pass through at different speeds. Some of us adults will recognise ourselves stuck at a certain stage. We do pass through at different speeds. And also, faith actually is a gift from God. So children like us are spiritual beings first and foremost. So God can and does interact with children, He with them, irrespective of age. That said, it's important to look at it. So let's start. Stage one, not two. This is very exciting. Because children form their pre-images of God at this stage. So sharing the love of God with them is all about care, safety, fun. They must be loved and liked and well cared for, down to the little details. How do you floss between your teeth when you've only got one tooth? But you see, if you're Toby Rawlings, you've actually got four teeth to floss, so it's busy times. And it's knowing the little details, actually, when you think Christ, that actually make the difference. Because from day one, it's this. God loves me if people here love me. It's actually quite simple. Now, we have a wonderful creche team, and we have a wonderful Tiddlywinks team, and that includes those of you who set up in the week. And they are doing just this. Parents, toddlers, babies experience this love and care together in this building. But there is a strong reminder, as Sue mentioned earlier in the first part. Let me read this to you from Matthew 18. It says this, and the emphasis is mine. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him or her to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Whoever welcomes. So all of us need to welcome the naught to twos, as with everybody else, with smiles and graciousness. It is distressing. I have been there as a parent with a baby crying. It is distressing, okay? Tutting, staring, criticising does not model sharing the love of God, and it does not show us living the story. Challenge. How many under twos do we have in our Fairfield family? If you've got a child and a baby in crèche, don't say, because you're bitter and abandoned. How many have we got? A bit too many, Sandra? Six, we've got six. How many can you name in your head? Rattle them through in your head. If you can't name any, shame on you. We've got Georgia, Sarah, Isla, Milo, Toby, William. What does Milo like to sleep with? Ducky. Look, isn't he cute? How many times have you or I gone over and smiled and done this, talked to the parents and showed an interest? Know the story, live the story of our faith and share it with a smile to the noughts and to twos. Stage two, two to six. Now, think in your head of children you know in this age group. Okay, this stage mainly reflects parental faith. They cannot think abstractly, okay? They cannot think through complex ideas. So their faith is not thought through, is it? Because that's not possible. But it's rather based on impressions and stories and repeated things picked up. So this stage is intuitive. They pick up massive amounts from home and church about what God is like, what God thinks of them, by the way how, by the way we interact and speak to and with them. Okay, by the way we interact and speak to and with them. They must feel they belong if they are to adopt the Christian community way of life. Let me repeat that last bit. They must feel they belong if they are to adopt our way of life as a Christian community. So challenge, what stories of our faith from the Bible about God working in our lives do we repeat? What do we repeat at home in Fairfield? What do you share at home? Just think for a minute. How warm is the emotion at Fairfield? So do we scowl as they run past us to play with their friends, as we queue up for coffee to speak to our friends? Because they do, they have a lot of energy, don't they? Run, 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 run. I wish I had that energy. Do they get nice biscuits too? It really matters we don't give them the shoddy broken bits when we've got nice ones. That is what they notice. If that's what we do, that is the kind of gifts God gives. It's quite simple. Okay, do they get nice biscuits? Are they a vital part? Are they a precious jewel? Do they belong? Do they feel they belong? Do they know they belong? Now, I'm not advocating we have no discipline and that we have anarchy, but you do get my bigger point. I love this. If you wanted a quiet kid who always behaves, you should have given birth to someone older. Which sounds pretty painful, but you know what I mean. Now, sometimes we forget the children actually must be allowed to be children, and you don't have those kind of rules at home. If we're honest, we don't expect a four-year-old to be behaving in a particular way consistently for 3 hours. Please, let's remember that. Now, parents, particularly you, grandparents as well, a few things for us to consider. Do they see us wanting to get here on time? Oh, I've said that awful word, time. Or are they always late because we are always late? Therefore, coming to Fairfield really is a bit of a chore, obviously, or it's a duty, or actually it's quite stressful because everybody's shouting again, have you got your car? And they get here like this, because that is what they think church is like. Do they hear nice things said on the way to church? Do they? What conversations happen over the Sunday lunch table? I hated that song. That first song was awful. Didn't he go on? So boring. This is what they remember. Okay, because it's impressions. It's repeated. It's impressions. Do they have friends who are adults in Fairfield who are not their blood parents? Or is it just you guys on your own? I just want to say something wonderful about our church now. In Fairfield, I don't know of any other churches like this, but every child 0 to 21 has a person they have chosen to be their prayer person. Okay, they have chosen this person. Thank you to all of you. From the bottom of my heart, this matters. It really does matter. When you pray, it matters. Just a gentle reminder, if you are a prayer person, please pray. Don't just intend to pray. Please offer prayer to them directly. Can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? And please send that birthday card. Because children at this stage need to know that they what? That they belong. If they don't get a card and you have forgotten, actually it does matter because they didn't remember me. Okay? If you have not got a prayer person because you've got a brand new baby or you're about to have a baby, make it a priority. It really, really matters. Come and talk to me. William Terry made an inspired choice. Yes, he was inspired at 4 months when he chose Tom. Even though I hazard they won't be going for a pint, probably, unless it's a pint of milk, for quite a long time. It really, really matters. We all know, don't we, that 2 to 6-year-olds love repetition. The same DVDs, the same stories. Please not Angelina Ballerina again. Please not again. And the stories of our faith need to be repeated as well, because they connect your home with the church. If they only hear stories here, okay, then fundamentally there is no connection. So they need to be hearing these at home. In Deuteronomy 6:7, I'm going to read you this. It does talk specifically about the commandments when it says this, but I want to kind of broaden that out slightly. It says this: impress them, the laws, on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. So God is very serious, okay, about sharing his laws and his love. And his laws and his love are shown magnificently in Jesus Christ. And he knows the value of repeating. How many times in the Bible does God repeat himself? Thankfully. So we need to do this. Okay, now as just mentioned, I haven't actually just mentioned it because I forgot, but All Age Worship and the groups and home are where we repeat. And All Age Worship is a brilliant, brilliant forum, okay, for repeating. We must repeat prayers. We must repeat liturgy. We must repeat songs. Because these are the pegs that your children at this age hold on to. Now, communion, we have grapes and we have a prayer. And that's great, and that's repeated. But actually, I think this is just a challenge for us as a church if we're involved in All His Worship. I think they need to know by heart, deep in here, a confessional. They need to know the Lord's Prayer. Thank you for doing it. They need to know the grace. Because these are the repeated liturgy that goes in about the truths of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in 2 Timothy 3:3, we read this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. How from infancy. Take a spot check. Do we read these things at home? Do we share liturgy with our kids? Do we read them with our grandchildren? Do we? When Tim led communion 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if you were here, but I love watching the kids. A challenge, next time there's a communion, watch the under sixes, watch them. Because this is what they were doing. They were intensely fixated on what Tim was doing with the bread and what he was doing with the wine. They were intensely fixated. And repeated activity, okay, with words, goes in at this age. In the Jewish faith, the youngest child has responsibility at some meals, okay, to hand the truths on by doing certain repeated things. And as a church, we have very few rituals, and there is good reason for that. I appreciate that. But I do want to say maybe we need to think about it. Because the only ritual I can remember is lighting the Advent candle. That's all I can remember. And all of them want to do it. And some have lit it several years, and some have never been asked. Please, a plea, remember it for next Christmas. Check the child has never lit it before you give them that honour. So maybe making Christingles or Advent wreaths or crib scenes or Easter crosses are ideas of repeated activity with a truth. Now, where's Chris Pearson? Is she here? Oh, okay, Neville, could you just tell Chris, I've just metaphorically done that because she's so creative and I think she could do that with the children. But it's a really, really important thing. Repeated things on an annual basis. Challenge at home, what do you repeat? What do I repeat for the sake of this age group? What about grace at mealtimes with prayer cubes? What about repeated sun graces? What about special bedtime prayers? Or do we just say, night, because we're too busy? Think about it. Next stage. Stage 3, 6 to 12 years. Now, they can now articulate their faith in Jesus better, but I would just like to put caution. This is actually more to do with language development, guys, and faith development. Okay? They still largely reflect their parents' faith, but they are more open to other adults' influence. Could you just put your hand up if you've ever been involved, ever, I mean, in the past? Holiday club, games night, TFT, crucial, vision cell. Any of you? Okay. Thank you. Because you guys are the influencers outside of the family. Thank you so very much. Let's just focus for a minute on holiday club. Holiday club, we know historically, cannot just be this da-da-da-da-da, that week when the kids come and they go again. And we know that children grow in relationships, okay? So we did, as a church, launch The Buzz, which goes some way towards keeping these relationships that we've grown with these parents, these adults we've just talked about. But what further ways best suit our context to connect the games night children the TFT children, our church children and the holiday club children at this 6 to 12 age? What is the best way? Now, I'm just going to throw out some ideas. These are not what I think. These are just to stimulate thought. Maybe a Christian club in a primary school where we have those contacts is a better use of our time than one-off hits in secondary schools. So maybe we're better to go into schools where children already come on a Friday, already come on a holiday club, to build up those weekly things. Some churches run messy church or godly play on Saturday mornings with dads. Some churches have after-school clubs at cafes. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But we have to find ways of bringing unchurched children into this beautiful intergenerational family. And I just want to say that Sunday mornings ain't the way it happens. Statistically, it does not happen that way. Okay, so we have to acknowledge that Sunday mornings is the way that God will disciple, praise the Lord, our own children. Okay, because I have a little statement here. God happens to love Christian children too, after all. Okay, and the only reason we've got such a beautiful, gorgeous-looking group over here and upstairs is because of your love and your consistency in church as well as in the week. So let's keep thinking and talking about best ways to bring the church, the non-church kids into this family. In the 6 to 12, they also start thinking about the Old and New Testament a bit. And a lot of work is done with Crucial and later Vision Cell to strengthen this. So they may now work out that David, who hit Goliath, actually is also the David that hit on Bathsheba. Up until this point, they tend to have individual images, so the stories tend to be isolated. Suddenly, they start to go, oh, that's him. Oh, I see. So that starts to connect. And the Bible stories are vital, okay? And I think the danger in church is we tend to say, here's a Bible story, let's teach a moral. But for this age group, we need to go, here's a Bible story, full stop. Here's the story of our faith. Here's our family stories. Let's repeat the stories of God through the Old Testament. I just want to say here, wonderful, that Debs is doing this brilliant new initiative in Mega X. They have bookmarks and they bring them home and they read chunks from the Old Testament, chunks from the New Testament as narrative. And it has power. Annette is loving it. And I just want to encourage you now. Has anyone seen, apart from me, read this book? It's called Book of Books by Trevor Dennis. He's a vicar. He was challenged to write the Bible as a novel for children. It's brilliant because it's narrative. They read it through and it gives that sweep of how our stories, our family stories, encouragement. Go and buy one as a family, read it as a family, and share the stories of our faith because stories are vitally important for this age group. Stories are, after all, the Bible is how God introduces himself to us, after all. This age group, just to also clarify before I give you challenges, they don't generally ask between 6 and 12 if their faith works. They don't. They tend to be straightforward, literalistic, and unexamined. Okay, here comes the challenge, guys. I want you to think, be dead honest, and I'm going to be honest as well. Okay, it is important to speak about Jesus and our faith to our children because we get better at understanding, okay? Be honest, when did you last talk with your kids about when you decided to follow Jesus, why you believe in it, why you love him, and when he's answered prayer? Because if they don't hear it spoken, they don't become natural, they won't take the risk to speak about it. So when did you last talk about why you follow Christ, why you even rock up on a Sunday? It's not to do the coffee. Okay, moving on. Okay, Okay, 12 to 17, this beautiful lot. Please take a look. Quite a lot of the 12 to 14 drop says, but they're the big, gorgeous lot. Identity formation is a big part of this. I've got to be me, but I can't help thinking someone else would be more qualified. This is a big part of this searching time. Who am I? Who is God? Is there a God? And it's vital that you as family and us as a church love them and that they know they are loved and belong, even if they doubt. Because faith and doubt start to dance at this stage. And they need to be able to express fear, faith, and doubt. Ian Hislop said this, well, I've tried atheism and I can't stick at it. I keep having doubts. That probably sums up my position. That's why I'm still an Anglican. Please don't. I'm not fazed by any question your kids ask me. You must not be fazed or they will simply hide it from you and they will get no answers to their questions. Teens need to belong but be independent. So it's for the first time they want to choose their own faith, thank you very much. And they're capable of very deliberate decisions about God, teams, boyfriends, girlfriends, let alone a move away from their parents' music choice. There's nothing wrong with your iPod, Dad, it's just too embarrassed to play the kind of music you like. And it's interesting, they usually choose the faith of their parents over other faiths at this stage, but when they go to uni, it is a watershed time, which is why I'm talking about the 21, up to 21. We support them until they leave university and beyond. University is the time when, obviously, lots and lots of free thinking happens. So we support them at uni via a huge number of different ways. And that's one of the reasons why we give those 10 books, 10 CDs in the September before they leave, just as a way of sharing the story of faith with them. Challenge, never underestimate the power of friendships. If you book your child to join hockey club on Sunday morning, or they go to gymnastics, or they go to roller skating on a Thursday night of sale, it will have an impact. I'm not telling you not to do it, but your children cannot be in two places at once. They also must be allowed to express their faith in ways that are comfortable. Isn't that right? Yeah? Are you all awake? Please don't force them to share prayers out loud or at home if they don't want to, because their shame radar is high. Okay? Don't say you should believe, this is what you must believe. You have to have meaningful dialogue. But it is a time when they have huge brains, huge, huge brains, and they are able to deal with abstract thinking. So Vision Cell, we push about think out the box. And Alice Hounsome emailed me recently and said that Vision Cell was where she learnt a robust, flexible faith. It must not be black and white because they simply will throw it out. At your age, Tommy, a boy's body goes through changes that are not always easy to understand. I love that. Adolescents spend a huge amount of time thinking about themselves, don't they? I can see my zit on Google Earth. And it's normal. But what's so beautiful about this stage is they can suddenly get the sweep of themselves in the narrative. So you've got Genesis, you've got the stories of the Old Testament, you've got Jesus, you've got me. Suddenly I'm 16, I'm in this story. And they can move to more complex and deep thinking, which is why we spend so long one-to-one mentoring, which is why we have vision lunches, socials, open houses, because fundamentally they need that time to explore this narrative of faith, this Jesus and them. I just want to put one thing in context. Thank you so much for supporting Vision Camping and Ultra Crew Weekends Away, because taking them away gives an opportunity where we build a temporary community of safe relationships. It is vital, not an optional extra. So thank you so much for all your support. The last stage here. 18 years-ish. This is when their authority tends to come from within now, no longer from someone else. They stand back. They tackle difficult, buried questions. They will bury questions as children because they don't get it. They'll just push it down. When you get to be mature, that kind of age, they say, let's look at this question. Doesn't feel comfortable, but let's look at it. Thank you so much for the seminars at Fairfield, because this helps so much with learning to debate and talk in an open way. This is a time of apologetics. Christianity can stand up to hard questioning. It is rational. Thank you for the debate on the 9th about creation and science. We owe it to our young people to engage our brains with our spirits, not just, you know, put it on the side and not think it through. This is where you prayer people come in so brilliantly. They need mentors. We can't do it all. There are more and more and more of them. I just want to say Eli chose Neville as his prayer person, and I'm totally and utterly convinced that Neville will take him out sailing, that he will continue to build that friendship, because when Eli leaves home, who is it who's going to be able to get alongside him apart from us? No pressure, Neville. But it's going to be Neville, because he will have built it. So if you have relationships, please talk to them. Please actually share and get alongside them. If you want an example of this, someone who's arrived at this stage, Matt Parry is somebody who's arrived at this stage, someone who can be embedded in a local church. He's fully involved in Paul, fully connected to here, supporting Christians elsewhere. He's arrived at that particular faith development stage. Okay, so we've looked at the five faith development stages, and now there's a few more things we just need to quickly look at to sum up. So bear with me. Jesus is radical in his message, and he must be revealed in his full strength. And I want our church children gripped by power and purpose. Don't you? Yeah. OK. Okay? The power of the Holy Spirit, purpose of God in their lives. There is a difference between a child who feels they have God's power and purpose in their lives and those who just enjoy the activities. I'll say that again. There's a difference between a child who feels they have God's power and purpose in their life and those who just enjoy the activities. That's what we want. Thanks, Jimmy. We are all invaluable because kids need to participate and minister throughout the church. So far, we have kids and youth serving on welcome, stewarding, coffee, music, PA, helping younger groups. But what about these serving communion? Why not? What about being part of a prayer team on a Sunday? Why not? What about being on the mission committee? Why not? What about sharing the Bible spot? And even, dare I say it, preaching with the right support? How about leading worship? In Matthew 21, it says this: when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" Most churches in this country do not have all their members ministering because children are raised as helpers only. We initiate, if we're honest, don't we? Jobs for them. "Could you help me with that?" They need to partner with us. They need to be equals partnering. We need to train them and release them into the jobs the Holy Spirit has given them. In Ephesians 4, we read this: "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attained to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." And again, in 1 Timothy 4:11, Sue alluded to it earlier, about not looking down on you for your youth. But how often are children told to wait until you're older, go and get some training and come back? Matthew 18:10 says this: "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." That's a wild verse. "The angels in heaven see the face of my Father in heaven." We must take them seriously. When did you or I last ask a child to pray for you? To pray for you. It's a big challenge. Please look for passion over skill. You may get lucky and get both. Skills can be taught. What moves their heart is key, and I don't want to thwart the Holy Spirit in our children. That's a very bad thing. The last slide. Okay, we've each partner, I've said that. Okay, please praise spiritual fruit, not performance. So, for example, "Thanks, Jake, for praying in the service. It really helped me focus on God. Thanks, Sarah, for singing. It led me into the presence of God. Thank you, Esther, for reading the Bible in the service. You helped me take in what God was saying to me. Thank you, Netta, for praying such lovely words. I could hear God speaking." That is praising spiritual fruit, not their performance. They need to know their spiritual contribution is powerful and real, and they're the full body, part of the full body of Christ, an arm or toe, whatever. So just to close in the sentence, I have a hunch that revival may come through the week. Okay, wouldn't that be profound if revival came through the week of the children? Because it says in our original passage, "Gathering the children up in his arms, Jesus laid his hands of blessing on them." So let's make sure that we do the same. Gathering the children up in his arms, Jesus laid his hands of blessing on them. Let's make sure we do the same. We're out of time, so what I suggest you do, if you've got something burning you want to ask me, please, I will stay here. Come and ask, come and comment. We only had a very limited time together. I hope that God speaks to us as a church and that we release our children into the purposes of the Lord. Amen. Over to you, Alan.